Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to the Sage Sayers. I'm your show host, Debbie Gardiner McCullough, DG McCullough. I'm a narrative coach, a communications coach, and a mental fitness coach from New Zealand, based in the fine state of Wisconsin. In each episode, the Sage Sayers unpacks communications tips and strategies, and we interview interesting individuals from all around the world who found the gift, the opportunity, and even some knowledge in life's inevitable challenges. My guest today is Isaac Terena, and I'm going to stop right there because I'd love him to introduce himself.
Oh, kia ora anō koutou, kia ora auntie. He uri au no Ngāti Raukawa ki te Tonga. Ko Isaac today and tōku ingoa. I am hail from New Zealand, here to visit my auntie and just live it up and share what I got to tell the world about vocal exercises and vocal ability and how it can help you in your career.
Woohoo! And that's our topic. I know that a lot of you are really worried about your voice right now. You've got performance reviews coming up, you're receiving feedback on how you sound, and some of you are getting perspective that the way you want to sound isn't quite the way that others hear you. So I brought my dear nephew to the Sage Sayers tonight, A, because he's an actor, he's a producer, he's a director, you're a filmmaker too, right?
Indeed.
All of that. And he has been to the Sage Sayers before because he recently starred in the movie The Avatar. He had a speaking role. And I consider Isaac not only my dear nephew and an entrepreneur, but also an expert on the human voice. So I wondered, Isaac, can I just share some of the vocal challenges that my clients talk to me about?
Of course.
I usually co-create with them different strategies that seem to work. But I think my learnings and offerings are usually coming from teaching business communication to MBA students, which I've done. And then just from being a reporter, I had a lot of exposure as a reporter when I interviewed leaders and politicians and entrepreneurs and scientists, just how many of us struggle when put on the spot. And we often just don't sound how we want to sound. So the first pattern is many struggle to bottom line their key ideas. And what I notice is most of us cast the idea well in the first cast. It's like a fisher person. They just cast the line. Mm. But then they continue to repeat the same idea in different ways. And I know from asking and coaching, it stems from self-doubt, fear that they haven't said it well enough, or fear that they need to show that they know a lot to be substantial. I wondered if that is your vocal pattern, that you struggle to bottom line and keep your ideas concise, what would you recommend? How would you tackle that as an actor or as a producer when you need your cast to just be concise?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big topic and there's a lot that goes into the voice as a tool, eh? I mean, right from when we are born, we're born into a world where we're using our voice. Babies are screaming. When you're a child, you're using your voice to get what you want, to get what you need, and express yourself in a way that a child does without self-doubt. And then obviously self-doubt and all these things start to kick in when you're a teenager. And then if you're lucky, if you're exposed to proper experiences that allow your voice to thrive and feel free when you're an adult, then you can start to be a confident human being and deliver these ideas that you need to get across to another human being. So there's something that happens in between all that where, we can feel very self-conscious about our voice. And so, it all comes down to the breath. The breath of life is kind of what we experience first when we're born into this world. And so I would strongly urge people to just, like, if they're in these environments where they're feeling stress or feeling pressure when they're trying to speak to people and get across ideas, commune, remember to breathe. The breath is your ally. The breath is your biggest friend in these kind of environments. And, with the breath, it brings new ideas. It brings new thought, new energy into a space. And just like I'm doing right now, I'm breathing and I'm making sure I remain calm so I can get across my perspective and get across my ideas to people. And so the breath is something that is quite underrated and we forget to be conscious of when we're communicating with people, just to breathe, you know, to take in the moment and also just hear yourself. You know, it's important to be listening to what you've got to say in an environment where you're presenting yourself or your ideas, because, you know, when you're tuning into your own inner power, people do listen to that. It's from my own personal experiences in my career or in personal situations. Like, if I can be calm and solid and comfortable with how I'm sounding and what I'm trying to get across in any kind of environment, then I seem to be able to work better in that kind of space with my own voice. And yeah, I would start there with the breath.
And using your breath, Isaac, when, you know, like quite often my clients are having to present part of a presentation. So they're sitting there anticipating and it's their turn coming up and they know it's coming.
No, yeah.
And they get very anxious just anticipating. So maybe that's a great time to breathe.
It is. No, I mean, I, like anyone, I get very nervous right before I'm about to speak. You know, I speak on panels, I speak to my auntie. I've spoken on the marae, which is like a very spiritual place to speak in front of a community. You know, I've spoken in front of people for my filmmaking career and all kinds of situations. And definitely the breath is something that gets me through. I'm trying to really breathe and be present. You know, you have to learn to be present in these kind of spaces and these environments, because, you know, I've been victim to my own lack of breath and I upset my rhythm or my flow when I'm speaking, because, you know, I start down a train of thought or trying to communicate an idea that, you know, I'm not breathing myself through, and then it gets lost. And then sometimes, you know, you can see a speaker on stage, they're kind of not, they forget to breathe, and then the anxiety kicks in, the stress kicks in, and then they can keep rambling and just not communicating anything. So yeah, it's important to take your time, eh? Like, we have so much time when you're given a space to be able to speak. And so use that time to communicate effectively with breath. And yeah.
I think that's great. So another challenge that my clients struggle with is verbal filler. So the typical words, so, but.
Yes.
And when I hear filler the most in my own presentations and when I coach presenters and they ask me to evaluate them or listen to something they've recorded and sent me, most of us insert verbal filler in the first minute, right, the most, especially in the first 5 to 7 words.
Right.
And then when we transition from one idea to the next, and or when we're just panicked or we don't know what to say, what are some good, so breath again.
Breath again.
Breathe through it. Pause.
Pause. Don't use use breath. And it's just vocal patterning, eh? Like, and that's what you kind of get built into your system for how you communicate when you're looking for time and space to fill, you know, your next thought or your next part of communication or speech. And so you have to really work hard to rewire that. And I've been, you know, working on this for a long time.
What's helped?
So apart from the breath, I sing. I think singing is a beautiful...
Before you present?
I'm singing like on the way to the presentation. I'm singing to myself before the presentation. You know, if people can hear me, that's okay. Like, I'm trying to find my inner power within my own voice. And
what shifts? Because I love that. I've noticed when I sing recently that it empowers me too. What's happening? Is it just we're opening up?
We're opening up. Yeah, we're opening up. We're being vulnerable. And singing is one of the most vulnerable things you can do in a space with yourself. Like, people struggle to sing with themselves. And so if you can learn to sing with yourself, whether it's in the shower, whether it's in the car, driving, you know, wherever it's comfortable and safe for you to sing, you need to probably start that practice. If you're in these environments where, you know, you're trying to learn how to communicate more effectively, I would strongly suggest singing. Because, and also singing in public. Like, I force myself sometimes to sing in public environments because it builds my confidence, eh? Like, it builds my sense of what my voice is for people.
And then you, fantastic.
Yeah, and then people do communicate back to you, oh, you've got a lovely voice. You know, I was so moved by your courage to sing. You know, I haven't always had a lovely voice. I can say that, I can testify to that.
Would you sing for us today?
Okay, that's maybe on the spot. I'll see if I've got something for you at the end of the...
Well, can I share something else about the singing piece that's really empowered me lately?
Yeah.
So out of the blue, you know about my big career change, leaving academia, training to become a coach, and now coaching full time. And it happened fairly quickly. Out of the blue, I just wanted to start singing. And it started off just when I'm driving or when I was at the lake, I'd be hiking up a hill and I'd just break into song and I'd be belting it out.
Exactly.
I'd be belting it out. And then out of the blue, I decided when it was my friend or family's birthdays, I would hit the voice text and I would sing them the happy birthday song. I did it for you. I do it for you?
Exactly.
And it came from my heart. That was so wonderful. Exactly. It's been really nice for my confidence.
Yeah. And if you can't sing, like obviously it's a very vulnerable space, like you can hum. Humming is another really strong thing because you're still learning your register. You're still learning your tone.
So it sounds like you're asking this tip is to make friends with your voice.
Of course. Your voice is your biggest. It's the only thing you have to communicate what you've got going on inside you to the rest of the world. And you need to absolutely look after that. You know, and because our voice.
Give it space.
Give it space and give it the kindness it needs because our voice is a memory box. Our voice is something that all of our experiences, whether that be pain, joy, happiness, trauma, our voice remembers these moments. And that's what you give back to the world.
Absolutely. You know?
I just love the voice so much, yeah.
What else has helped you with the filler? I'm going to ask you that, and then can I share one thing that I heard from a Marine I interviewed once?
Mm.
Do you know what they do in the Marine Corps when they're training the Marines to be effective communicators?
What's that?
They let them present. And then, well, this one gentleman, this was his technique, and everyone gets a bucket of styrofoam balls. And every time you use um or ah, you get hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's one tactic. That's not how I would teach people to use
their voice. How would you teach them?
Well, I would get them to be confident and comfortable with singing. I would get them to be confident and comfortable with expressing ideas. I would get them to feel safe first and foremost in any kind of environment because, our voice can be crushed or it can be enlightened and alleviated and empowered by other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your family was to start there. Like your family can either empower you to have a good voice in the home or they can diminish your voice in the home. You know, so from our early ages, we're being taught how to use our own voice. And maybe not until you're of age to be able to explore the world are you going to learn what your voice is and how you can communicate what you've got going on to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a very powerful thing to be delicate and careful and kind to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So it's more partnering, accepting, loving it, being kind to it, giving space to it.
Mm.
Can I offer another challenge that I hear at all?
Yeah.
One is speeding. And when I say speeding, I mean just racing to the end. And then my clients receive that feedback. You're too fast. When they come to me with, we can't hear you, you seem nervous. And this is quite crushing feedback because they know they're nervous and now they're embarrassed that they exhibited their nervousness through speeding. When I coach to that problem, the root cause is usually there. I always ask, what are you racing towards or what causes the speed to speed up so much where no one can hear? And it's usually because they just want to rush to the end.
Yeah.
So how do you coach or guide those you work with to pace themselves well?
So immediately for me, it's tied back to the breath. Again, like if you're breathing throughout your presentation or your conversation, you are forced to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You are forced to take a breath and then wait and then think about what it is I'm actually communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So you're dialing down to the essence of what it is you're trying to communicate. And so I know that there might be a lot of ideas or a lot of thoughts or thinking that you need to get across in a presentation or a conversation. However, if you're able, if you have the space before that kind of experience to meditate and breathe and really focus it in on what it is you're trying to get across. I mean, it doesn't matter how much time you have effectively, but it's about the quality of the idea. It's about the quality of delivery. And so, for me, the breath is, again, the biggest ally in that kind of situation. And just being like mentally prepared You know, you can hum, you can sing before going into these kind of environments, and obviously breathing and things like that.
Can I add one thing to that too, sure. Isaac? And it's really just the external factors too, being very curious, I think, about what's causing you to speed. Mm. Sometimes I find communicators who are branded as being too quickly paced, it's because they're cramming too much into their slides or feeling that they have to include so much information in their slides, and having a bit of a, what we called in journalism, in the journalism industry, a bit of a crawl edit on your slides before or your content before you go in, doing a bit of a brutal edit and compressing the content by half can reduce a lot of urgency to pack a lot of information into the short time that you've been given the podium.
Totally. And, you know, coming from my acting experience, we practice with one another before we go into auditions. So, you know, use someone in your life to practice a presentation and see what's actually landing and see where your strongest points are in your ideas or your thinking. And so, and focus on that and then remove all the other stuff that doesn't seem to be landing, that you're not confident in when delivering your ideas, you know. I want to talk about as well, like eye contact. I think eye contact has actually a big part to play when we're expressing our ideas and using our voice. A lot of people are intimidated by eye contact, and a lot of people overuse eye contact as well when speaking. And so again, like, you don't have to look at someone when you're speaking, because our ears aren't our eyes. So that's another thing I'm starting to use more in my own personal life, and through my experiences have learned a lot about eye contact. It actually can either help you get your voice, your ideas, your opinions or whatever to another person looking into their eyes, or it can offset your own flow. Oh. So just, you know, like, be mindful of how you're using eye contact when in speaking environments. I use eye contact to, you know, deliver home a point. So like, as I'm formulating my ideas through my voice, eventually I land on the person's eyes to, you know, nail home whatever it is I'm trying to get across to them. And then it's also helps me register what is landing, because you're using your eyes to read someone else's face. And then you kind of know if they're engaged or not, what it is you're talking about.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Isaac. We've covered some really lovely ground on voice, and just in a few minutes remaining, anything else to add? And then do you want to tell my listeners what you're up to?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's underestimated the power and the potential of the voice for every human being. And, you know, because it's a memory box, it holds all of our previous experiences that inform our present, but it doesn't necessarily mean all you have to be in life. You can really train your voice. You can use singing, humming, you know, other kind of vocal exercise, the breath, of course.
And grounding.
And grounding and meditation, all kinds of things to go into, you know, evolving your voice, the tool that you need to get through life. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I have so many other methods that we obviously only have a short amount of time today, but
these methods.
Yeah, please do. And if people want to get in touch with me about these methods, you know, I can offer them as a service. They include like exploring your voice as in four elements, like water, air, earth, and fire. Creative exercises for storytelling and exploration of yourself, which kind of include one-word stories. Fun exercises to, you know, really build your confidence with your own voice. And yeah, like, I would encourage people to speak in public as much as possible. So I want to offer a service where I kind of allow that space for people to go into the streets or, you know, into the community and speak publicly, because that's some of the best way to learn about who you are.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Fantastic. How can my listeners find you, Isaac?
So I'm on Instagram, Isaac Terreina, ISAAC_TERRINA. Probably the best way to reach me these days, yeah.
And I will make sure that that information are in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, Isaac. Everybody listening tonight, take good care, and I will speak with you again soon. Bye-bye for now. You've been listening to DG McCullough with the Sage Sayers, a podcast on business communications and mental fitness, finding the sage approach to life's challenges. If you'd like to coach and train with me on any communication or life challenge, visit my website, hangingrockcoaching.com, or find me on LinkedIn with the hashtag Brave Communicators. Both links you'll find within the show notes. I want to thank my producer, Doten, for his elegant edits, making these episodes beautiful in ways far beyond my skills. You can find Doten on Fiverr under Titan32. And thank you to my coachees all over the globe who spark creative ideas for each episode. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.